Good evening. It's good to see you again. I invite your attention tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at a few familiar verses of Scripture that are very comforting, very encouraging. I wrote this question down, and it seems like kind of a foolish question, but I'll ask it anyway. Are you troubled by anything? Anything bothering you right now? Are you going through a hard time? I think we can all say yes, can't we? To some degree or another. That's our life, isn't it? In this world. Constant sorrow, constant trials, constant hurt and pain in some form or fashion. We know it far too well, don't we? Well, for you who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for you whom God has given precious faith to look to Christ and to Christ alone for all your salvation, all your hope, I have a word of comfort for you. Look here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. And as we read this, let's remember this is God speaking to us. Verse 16 says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Three very simple and yet so needful exhortations. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. So this is for you who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's word to you and to me. Rejoice evermore. That means be glad. Be happy. Be full of joy, full of cheer. You know, we ought to be. Even though we go through hard things, things that sometimes we can't find anybody to truly empathize with us. You know, we sympathize, but how often we can't empathize because we've not been there. God says, rejoice evermore. And the reason is we have infinite reasons to be. You know that? I just want to talk to you tonight. I don't have some fancy conjured up message for you. It's these three verses, and I'm just simply going to expound upon them. I need God to comfort me. I need God to speak to me daily. Honestly, I feel overwhelmed. And you might laugh and think, what in the world could overwhelm you? You're young, you got everything going well. I do. I truly believe that. But this sin, you know, Paul said he's walking around this body of death. This sin that we carry so easily besets us, does it not? We need encouragement. I want to just start right here, rejoice evermore. You know, this morning we looked at the Apostle Peter and how our Lord told him, face to face, he told him, Peter, you're blessed. Truly blessed. And he said that because Peter knew who he was. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told him, Peter, you didn't do anything to believe on me. My Father, which is in heaven, gave you faith to believe on me. He said, you're a blessed man, Peter. You're a blessed man. Being a blessed man or woman, we ought to be the happiest, most cheerful, most joyful people in this world. We really ought to be. We ought to be. And yet, sadly, how often we're not. I'll go ahead and tell you, this message ain't about us. I'm not trying to whip us and say, let's be happy. That's not the point of this message. The point of this message is look to Christ who saved you. Look to Christ who loved you and gave Himself for you. Look to Him who poured out His precious blood to redeem you. I don't know how many more days I have here. I like to think I have a few to go. You know, it seems like every time I go somewhere, someone's not there this time. We just mentioned in the study, dear brother from Danville, the song leader, Lindsey Campbell. Known him all my life. When I was a little kid, I would ask him if we'd be at a function, and I would go up to him and say, can we sing 175, Standing on the Promises? To this day, I don't know why I would ask him that. But I tell you what, thinking about that blesses my heart so much, because God has revealed to me that I'm standing on the promises of God my Savior. And I'm sure it was His utmost joy to lead us in that song. He knew I didn't have a clue what I was talking about, but His prayer was that God would make that my prayer in due time. And praise God, He did. Standing on the promises of God my Savior. But one by one, we're leaving this world. One by one, we're going to meet God. And I pray every day while we're here, God will enable us to rejoice. I want to show you a few verses here talking about things to rejoice in. Turn back to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. We're going to be turning a little bit tonight. Psalm 13. We know that our brother David was often troubled. You read about how he was constantly fleeing for his life. We're not going to read Psalm 23, but because the Lord was his shepherd, he knew he shall not want. He knew everything's going to be okay, just like we know. But I want to show you here how troubled he was and show you what he rejoiced in, and pray we can too. Psalm 13 verse 1 says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Here's the first thing we can rejoice in, brothers and sisters. Rejoice in his salvation. You know, in another account, David prayed, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It was joyous when we first found ourselves believing on Him, wasn't it? And then life got hard, didn't it? And yet, in mercy, He brings us back, enables us to hear His voice, and rejoice in His salvation again. And I love this. Another psalm says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins. We just read it. He hath dealt bountifully with me. And we know why, don't we? Because He dealt with Christ after our sins. He bore our sins. He bore them all. He bore them all. Turn over a few pages to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 7. Again, this is David writing. He said, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. For thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. If there's one thing a child of God can rejoice in, it's this. His mercy. Where would we be without it? I don't want to know. We sing, depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Still? After all these years, can there still be mercy for me? I sure sinned a lot today. Can there be mercy for me? Yeah. Yes, there is. He delights to show mercy. That's another one where it says "if," delighteth continually. His mercy endureth forever. Oh, praise God, it's so. Turn over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 17. Our Lord had sent 70 men out to preach the gospel. And that's who's talking here. Verse 17. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. What they're saying is, they were getting impressed with what the Lord was pleased to do through them. But they were looking at the wrong thing. All right. Verse 18, and he, the Lord, said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now that's reason for rejoicing, isn't it? Your names are written. I love that. Who wrote them? God. In the Revelation, we read about the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, rejoice, your name's written there. Oh, my soul. Peter told us in his epistle that there's an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved. You know, you reserve a seat and there's a name on it, reserved. Reserved for you. Your name's written there. There's a reservation for you. Oh. That'll comfort a troubled heart. Your names are written in heaven. How often should we rejoice? Paul told us in Philippians 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And that's where our rejoicing is. Whatever it is we're rejoicing in, it's in Christ. We're rejoicing in Christ, our Lord and Savior. And he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice evermore. We sing a song, Whatever My Lot. Whatever my lot, whatever happens, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I pray God would give us faith to live that. To wake up and to think in our heart, this is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Be glad in the Lord. Trust the Lord. Look to Him. You have a hard day. You lay down to go to sleep. You think, oh, I'm so glad this day's over. You know, 2020. When 2020 came to an end, didn't we all breathe a sigh of relief and think, whew, we escaped that one. That was a rough year. How's this year been going? Has it been any easier? Honestly. But we know who's in control, don't we? The affairs of this world seem so troubling, don't they? And this country just seems, it just seems like a mess, don't it? It is. It always has been. And it's always going to be until Christ comes and burns this thing up. All these things are going to be dissolved and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And according to His promise, we're looking for Him. We're looking for that day, the day of God, the coming of Christ. I know what some of you are going through. Not many of you, but some of you. And my heart breaks for you. I don't know what a lot of you are going through, but I know you're going through something. And my heart breaks for you. Whether I can empathize with you or not, I sympathize for you. But I encourage you, look to Christ. Look to Christ. Whatever it is, look to Christ. I want to show you this. Turn over a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. And I'll just say this, if you're not going through something now, perhaps you're young and you're not really going through anything, you will. And when you do, may God enable us to recall these things to our mind. All right? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." How can we say that? How can we honestly feel that way? There's only one way. That's looking to Christ. Sometimes we're hit with hard realizations in life. You know, we think, oh, well, if I could do anything to change this, I would. Just thought of this, the saying of our dear brother Scott Richardson. If I had the power of God, well, I'd change everything, wouldn't we? But if we had the wisdom of God, we'd change nothing. I pray God would give me faith to believe that. Seriously. Verse we quote all the time, Romans 8:28, "And we know, praise God we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." I'm glad we know that. If I didn't know that, if God didn't give me faith to believe that, I might just have a hard time going about my day, especially when things got tough. God has given us rejoicing, hasn't He? I pray we can rejoice. Look back in our text. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. I certainly don't feel qualified to speak on this topic. I don't feel qualified to speak here at all. But this matter of prayer, I just want to say a few things. What does it mean to pray? Prayer is pouring our heart out to God. You ever pour your heart out to somebody? You just need someone to confide in. Sometimes it's hard to find someone to confide in. You think you can confide in someone that doesn't go over well. Probably because we're not, well, because we're sinners, that's why. We're not the best comforters, are we? We can confide in our Savior. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. That's the thing we struggle with, is leaving it there, ain't it? It's easy to take it there, but it's hard to leave it there. We want to pick it back up and put our boots on and keep going, don't we? It's okay to be weak. When we're weak, then we're strong with Christ. He's our strength. All of our strength. Prayer. You know, we pray, we think we pray with our lips, don't we? Our brother just prayed a minute ago. He spoke with his lips, but he prayed with his heart. You know that? We pray with the heart. You can pray without saying a word. Pray with your lips sealed and your heart wide open, pouring out. Oh, I pray God would teach me to pray. Prayer is born out of a need and a heart of gratitude. Don't pray if we don't have a need, do we? We just read Psalm 33 and Psalm 31 and Psalm 13, I think. I thought of a couple prayers. This may be the most beautiful prayer in all the Scriptures. I believe it was Peter. Prayed, "Lord, save me." What a prayer. You know, we can get up here and just utter a bunch of words. I do it every time, I feel like. And yet it often feels like vain repetition. The Lord knows our heart. He knows it. He knows our heart. But that's our prayer. Lord, save me. That poor publican, he prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, that Pharisee, that religious man, he stood there boasting of his works and what he gives, what he does. And that man didn't have a need at all. And he didn't go home with the Savior either. But that poor publican did. Went home justified. Went home trusting in Christ. Went home with all his need met. It says God shall supply all your need. You have a need? And he's going to supply it through Jesus Christ. All of it. And prayer is an act of faith. When we pray to God, we're praying to the only one who is able to help us. We're not praying because we're religious. We're praying because we need God to speak to us. We need God to hear us. Incline thine ear unto me. I'm poor and needy. And we pray to Him, believing with all our heart, He will hear us. The Father hears Him pray. And He hears us pray. Christ prays for us. He makes intercession to the Father for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Our Lord encourages us. He commands us to pray to Him. And I pray He'll enable us to. The beautiful thing about prayer, it has nothing to do with us. But what a beautiful thing it is when a poor sinner finds themselves at the feet of the Savior. That's prayer. Falling flat on our face, in our heart before Him. Lord, would You do for me? This is what a brother in Danville always prayed, and I'll never forget it. Would You do for me what I cannot do for myself? That's what it is to pray. How often should we pray? Every single day. Throughout the day. Pray without ceasing. Henry said, pray without ceasing to pray. And as long as we're needy, helpless sinners, we'll find ourselves praying. We may not know what we're doing. We may not even know what we're saying, but we know we need Him. Pray we'll always know that. We need Him more than anything. Quickly, I want to mention a few things we ought to pray for. We ought to pray for faith. The disciples prayed, Lord, increase our faith. God's given us faith. Lord, increase our faith. Enable us to look to Christ, to trust Christ, to rest in Christ and Christ alone. We ought to pray for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. And we ought to pray for the ability to forgive one another, the desire to forgive one another. And if God's forgiven us, then we ought to be the most forgiving people in this world. And yet again, how often we're not. Speaking from experience here. But Lord, forgive me and enable me to forgive my brethren. Enable me to forgive others. We ought to pray for grace. We ought to pray for grace in the midst of our trials. It says He giveth more grace. And we know this about His grace. Whatever the trial, His grace is sufficient. Always. Every time. We ought to pray for our brethren. Here in verse 25, He said, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. We say it often, you know, if we're going to stand to preach, pray for me. Pray for me. Please do. But we all need to pray for every single one of us. We all have needs. I don't know your life on a personal level. I don't know what your day is like. It may be misery. Pray for each other. How often Paul started his epistles, I think he started this one this way, saying that he thanks God for you, making mention of you always in my prayers. Oh, may God bring that to our heart. Bring one another to mind, to heart before God. We ought to pray for others, not just our brethren. Pray. You live in a community, I live in a community. Pray for your community. We pray all the time for the Lord to save those in our community. Pray for our state. Pray for our nation. Pray for this world. Who am I that God should be mindful of me? There's, I think, what, 7-8 billion people in this world right now? Pray for them. Pray that God would do for them what He's done for us. I pray God would put that prayer in our heart. I'm a very selfish person, and I'm ashamed to admit it. God, help me to be mindful of others. Lord, save others. And our prayer must be on this wise: Thy will be done. You know, we pray for particular things, but may our prayer start and end with, Lord, if You will. That's what that leper cried, wasn't it? Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. Thy will be done. Our Lord prayed that. When He besought the Lord to please let this cup pass from me, He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Thy will be done. Pray for God's will to be done. He knows what's best. And He only does what's best. He does what's right. Things often don't seem right, do they? We hear about things, we see things, and think, well, that's just not right. It may not be. We do bad things. You turn on the news, there's horrible things on there. But we need to understand, God is sovereign. And He does right. Nothing happens that bypasses Him. Nothing. He does right. And above all, may this be our prayer: may Christ be exalted in everything. It doesn't matter what I want. It just doesn't matter. We want to be happy, don't we? Who doesn't want to be happy? Whether we're happy or not. May our heart's desire be for our Lord Jesus Christ to be exalted, to be honored, to be glorified, to be praised in everything, in my life, in this world. And I'll tell you this, He is. He is exalted above everything. And I pray that He will be. May God, our Savior, enable us, teach us to pray for things as we ought. I pray He would teach us to pray. And I guarantee you, when I'm lying on my deathbed, when that time comes, that'll still be my prayer. Lord, teach me to pray. I still don't have a clue, but I know I need You. Verse 16 again. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to read you a couple verses. Psalm 92 verse 1 says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High." Psalm 103 verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to truly give thanks to the Lord? Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. He hath saved us. He hath been merciful to us. He hath been mindful of us. Dealt bountifully with us. Don't you want to thank Him? Don't you want to thank Him as we ought? I mentioned we all want to be happy. Whether we're happy or not, may we rejoice, pray, and give Him thanks. Every day and everything. In sickness and in health, some of you may be going through sickness. Terminal sickness. Some of you may be healthy as a horse. We think we are, don't we? And then we stub our toe and realize how frail and weak we are. But regardless of our physical state in this life, or mental, emotional state, we have a great physician. I had the privilege of teaching our middle and high schoolers last Sunday, Sunday school. We looked at the paralytic man who his four friends tore off part of the roof and let him down through the roof to the Savior's feet. He was paralyzed. He had the palsy. He couldn't move. Confined to a bed. the Lord, the first thing He said was, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And I told the kids, I said, at that point, the man was still paralyzed, but his sins had been forgiven him. And here's the point. Whether our sickness is healed or not, the only thing that matters is that our sins be forgiven us. Now, our Lord, in loving kindness and grace and mercy, He caused that man to take up his bed and go home to his house. Arise, take up thy bed and walk. And he did immediately. But the point is, whether he heals our physical ailment or not, if he's forgiven us of our sins, what more could we possibly want? In sickness or in health, we have a great physician who's healed our soul. In poverty and in wealth. It's easy to complain about money and the lack thereof, isn't it? Oh, I'm so guilty of this. And when the Lord gives us riches, not to set our heart upon them. Trust not in riches, uncertain riches. Whether we're poor or rich in this life, if we know Christ, God has given us all things freely in Him. Doesn't matter whether we're materially rich or not. We have the unsearchable riches of Christ. Wealth that can never be told. We have everything. The Lord will provide. He's going to provide for His own. I shall not want. He's our shepherd. We shall not want. We're not going to lack a thing. What the psalmist say, I've been young and I'm now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You're not going to see it happen. Because Christ is our sufficiency. He's our provision. He's everything. In good times and in tough times. And I'm telling you this, when the tough times come, may we consider Him. Consider the affliction He endured for us. Consider the tough times, if you will, that He on purpose endured to save us, to make it eternally well with our souls. Consider Him. And not only that, consider Him and how He did that for the joy that was set before Him. We can't do that. Consider Him. Consider Him at all times. You know, it's easy to praise God when the sky is sunny and you're feeling good, isn't it? So easy. Thank you, Lord. Beautiful day. What about when it's raining? What about when it's thundering? When it's storming? When the storms of life have gotten you down and you feel like you can't get any lower? Is it easy to praise God at that point? It's not, is it? But there's no better thing for us to do, especially when we're weary and heavy laden, when we're troubled. I feel like that's the time when Christ is truly exalted, isn't it? When He gives us grace and faith to look to Him when we got nowhere else to go. When we just feel to the point of despair, no return. Lord, thank You. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Brethren, He completed our salvation. He finished it. We're one with Him. Accepted before God in Him. What more could we possibly want? Our state couldn't be any better. I believe Paul also said in Philippians, whatever state I'm in, God's taught me to be content. You know, we may not be all roses and butterflies. We may not be jolly hopping to and fro. But God will make us content. He'll give us godliness with contentment. That's great gain, isn't it? If God's given us that, that's everything. Everything. Psalm 145 says, I will extol Thee, my God, O King. I will bless Thee and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee and I will praise Thy name forever. And ever. And we could just say forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. A couple things here. Whatever it is, whatever we're going through, Let's understand this is God's will for us, and it's best. I remember Brother Don saying, Cody, whatever God has for you, I said, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it's what's best for you. I believed it then, and I believe it more now. Even if I don't like it, it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. I need to be thankful for it. Pray for grace and faith to look to Christ in it. And I love this. Again, for believers, it's God's will for us that we are in Christ Jesus. Of God are ye in Christ Jesus. We didn't put ourselves there. I mentioned it this morning. We wanted nothing to do with Him. But praise God, of God, we're in Christ Jesus. He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. He's our all in all. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful. Let's read our text again. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God chose us, chose to save us, chose to redeem us, sent Christ to die for us, make us holy, accepted in Him. The Spirit has come and quickened us, given us life, faith in Christ. Right now, by God's grace, we're looking to Christ. You know how precious that is? I wish I knew just how precious that is. May God enable us, whatever tonight brings, about to walk out these doors in just a minute, we can't take a moment for granted. May God help us to look to Christ. May He enable us to rest in His sovereignty, enable us to trust in Him in all things, and be thankful. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. For Christ's sake, may He be glorified. Amen.